Have you ever heard any phrases like these? Oh, don't worry, it's going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. All you have to do is keep doing your best, and you're already doing your best. Or what about these? Well, at least we're so lucky to be doing what we're doing. You're doing one of the hardest jobs during one of the hardest times. So lucky. Or what about these classic phrases? Just look on the bright side. You'll get over it. Just think happy thoughts. Because it could be worse.
Those phrases ring so true for us at the Marigold Force. We hear them often, and today we're going to name it for what it really is: toxic positivity. And we'll share with you 5 ways to combat it right now. We'll also be sharing examples of true positivity.
Yes, being positive, truly positive, isn't a bad thing, but using toxic positivity to manipulate your feelings and others' feelings is never okay. Let's get to today's episode, Toxic Positivity, 5 Ways to Combat It Now. Hello and welcome. I'm Joel Karlovsky.
And I'm Jessica Bauer. We're 2 educators that are obsessed with growth. We're living the beauty of shifting behaviors and taking control of our mindset. And we want to let you in on the magic and continue to bloom together.
This podcast is inspired by Jennifer Gonzalez. We believe that everyone needs to find their marigolds. If you can find at least one marigold in your life and stay close to them, you will grow. Find more than one and you will positively thrive.
Think of this podcast as a virtual workshop. We'll dig into tips, tools, and advice for personal, professional, and community growth. We share our learning through the lens of an educator because that's what we know, but these tools work for anyone.
We'll also invite you to take action because change doesn't happen without it. And the best part of the podcast is that we're doing the work right alongside you. Let's dig in. This is the Marigold Force podcast. Time for the cleanse. The cleanse is an opportunity to pull yourself out of autopilot. Rather than mindlessly moving from one task to another, it's important to pause and check in with ourselves physically and mentally. So Jesse, how are you doing? And do you need anything right now?
Well, Joel and I do a cleanse together very often. So yesterday when we checked in, I was feeling very off, and I still feel a little off, just like can't quite catch my feet, just feel not myself, and I can see myself not feeling myself, but I feel a little bit more like how I normally feel this morning. And so I'm just noticing we came back from spring break. It must take me 4 to 5 days to transition between different types of things. So just something I'm noticing. All right, I need 4 days to be back in my headspace. How about you, Joel?
Yeah, I also feel just a little, not behind, but just slower. And I think that I have to just be gentle myself. I'm aware that I need to be gentle myself because it's only a few days back and I shouldn't be in this beautiful flow yet because we just got back and that's okay. So
I invite you all to pause the podcast for a moment and check in with yourself. How are you feeling right now? Before we get to the learning today, I have something so near and dear to my heart that I want to share with you. Joel and I have created a free guide, 6 Steps to a Killer Workflow. These steps have completely transformed my experience as an educator over the years. With this guide, you'll work through 6 key aspects I've identified in my own workflow and what I and Joel do to actually feel done working. Yep, it's possible to feel done. And taking your work home over the weekend is definitely not in the guide.
No.
So head to our show notes to find the link for the 6 Steps to a Killer Workflow guide. Now to the learning.
Jesse, you mentioned in the intro about toxic positivity and true or authentic positivity. What does toxic positivity look like, sound like, and feel like for you?
Well, for me, I think it's the not naming when something truly is like a shitstorm and not going well and just going right into like, we've got this, it's going to be great. Like, it's okay to say that. I don't see that necessarily as toxic positivity, but I feel like when we don't actually talk like, yep, this is definitely not fun. This is definitely like something we're only doing during COVID. I totally see that this sucks for you guys, but I appreciate that you're making the most of it. When that's kind of skimmed over and it's just the same, like, we've got this, let's go. Yeah. That's what toxic positivity feels like for me. And when you look around the room and you see everyone else like, this sucks. And I just want to take names first.
Yeah.
And not jump right in. Does that make sense?
Completely.
Yeah. How about you, Joel? What does toxic positivity look like for you?
Toxic positivity for me is anytime people aren't willing to hold more than one thing, like making it either or instead of a both and. So something I always say is like, often I'll be like, oh, I just hate kids, you know, or whatever, something like that. And people are like, wait, but you love kids. You're great at what you do. This kids love you. And I'm like, no, I love kids and I hate them. Like I can hold both at the same time. Like it can be an exhausting moment right now. And I don't want to go to work and I love what I do. Like, and it's holding both. And I think that especially in this past year, I've realized that naturally people want either or thinking. So like, it's either really great or really horrible. Mm. And sometimes it can be great and horrible at the same time. And we have to, or I know that it's important for me to honor that, which leads right into authentic or true positivity. What does that feel like for you, Jessie?
Yeah. So that's kind of like what I said before, like let's name the crappy thing that's happening first. So we're all like, yep. And then we can move on to, all right, how are we going to put our best foot forward? But like, let's name it and not glaze over that and make it, it's not a thing because it is a thing. Yeah. How about for you, Joel?
For me, authentic positivity is when people validate what I'm feeling and don't try to discourage me to feel what I'm feeling. And when I do the same for others. So like, if someone's like, oh, I'm having a really hard day, I don't go right into, and you're doing such great work. And let me name all the things that are going great. It's just saying, it sounds like you're having a really hard day and just being okay with that. Yeah. Like that's also positive, like, because I'm just listening to someone and validating them and letting them have an authentic experience instead of going right to the positive.
That reminded me, like, also people trying to fix it when I didn't ask you to fix it. Like, I already know how to fix it in my head. Like, I don't need you to give me a solution right now because I didn't ask you.
Yeah.
So I don't need a solution. Just let me exist, like you said, and have my emotions.
It's like a metaphor of like, it's raining out and someone just keeps saying, but it's going to stop in 2 hours. And you're like, but it's raining now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, thank you. And like, I just need an umbrella. Do you have an umbrella? So why was it important for you to learn how to effectively combat toxic positivity, like we're talking about today?
Yeah, I think for me, it's so that I can avoid being I can avoid toxic positivity with my colleagues or my coworker or people I care about. So I don't want to be that person who's like, oh, but it's going to stop raining in 2 hours. Like, oh, but we've got this. Like, I don't want other people to feel that emotion that I'm feeling. And I think it's something we need to learn because it's not something I knew naturally. Yeah. So I think it's important for me to see, and I do that. So I'm going to shift this around. And then everything's a ripple effect. You can see people around you start to notice like, I'm going to do that too. And then it slowly starts to change your little bubble and then your larger culture that you're living and working in.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about for you, Joel?
Well, I think one of my natural gifts or superpowers is that I am just a positive person. And I do see, like, I don't even see the glass half full. I'm like, it's full of water and it's full of air. Like it's full, like let's enjoy that glass, you know? And, that is authentic to me. And if I'm not careful, that can be invalidating to others. If I'm just sharing what I see, as opposed to listening and holding space for others with what they're seeing, because if someone says it's half empty, that's authentic to them. And maybe I don't even see that. I'm like, tell me what you're seeing. Cause I don't personally see that, but I don't need to go right to what I see. I want to continue to get better at holding space for others with what their reality is. So
I love that. I love that.
Well, what we just did, reflecting on and realizing when we're experiencing toxic positivity, needs to happen first before you start to combat it, like we're doing today. Like we say all the time on this podcast, start with your why. When you are aware of the why, it's so much easier to actually do the work because you can see how important it is to do the work. Now, Jesse, let's get to 5 ways to combat toxic positivity. We'll share a step. We'll share what that step looks like for each of us. And we'll share the why we put that on the Marigold First Force list. Do you want to start with step 1?
Yeah. So step 1 is express yourself. What do you say? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Express what's going on. So why this step is important? I think it just, for me, it allows a place for people to share their feelings and also notice what other people around you are feeling. Cause I know not quite similar to what Joel said, but I can tend to think like what I'm thinking is what everybody's thinking. So if I'm thinking that this is a shitstorm, this is not going well, but my colleague over here is like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this new whatever. I'm like, okay, if we're not expressing ourselves, I have no clue what other people are thinking. And I just assume everyone's thinking what I'm thinking.
Sure.
What about for you? How does that look for you, Joel?
For me, it's just
it important.
For me, it's important because this is something I didn't do for the longest time. I would just repress my feelings. So like I would let you have your feeling, but I know I have strong feelings, so I didn't want my feelings to dominate the conversation. So I'd be like, no, I have a very visceral feeling about this, but I'm not going to say anything. So I think that it's been important for me to just give myself permission to not repress what I'm feeling and to actually express that and to be okay with not expressing it perfectly the first time. So it's like, I think I'm angry right now, but it might just be sad. I don't know. Can you just listen to this and being okay with expressing whatever it feels like in that moment. So,
So then step two is, listen, validate, and repeat. So, do you want to explain this one, Joel?
Yeah. I think that often let's just imagine me and Jesse are talking right now and we tend to go right to the solution.
Yeah.
Instead of this step, which is just listening to Jesse in this case, validating, saying, oh, I can't imagine what you're going through, and then just be willing to repeat it. So I think what I heard you say is that fill in the blank. And then that's another opportunity for the person to say, I kind of said that, but I want to tell you more about that. And then you listen again and you validate and you repeat that. And so, oh, so what I'm really hearing you say is this, is that what I'm hearing you say? Yeah. And just making sure that we're not making up stories about what someone's telling me. So if Jesse says like, hey, this didn't get done, it probably has nothing to do with me, but if I don't listen and validate and repeat what you're saying, I can start to create stories. What is that? What does that look like for you?
But for me, this exact thing just happened in our professional learning on Monday with our whole staff. I was on my team and we went through a very similar like framework like this to talk about like ourselves as learners and ourselves as educators. And I was explaining like where I was at, what I needed, especially during the pandemic. And then my colleagues were repeating back, like, I heard you say this. And I struggle to articulate really. I think I struggle to really know what I'm feeling. Cause I think I'm always I'm an enthusiast on the Enneagram. So I think I'm just like, all right, the next thing, positive. And then I don't really sit with, what do I really feel? What do I really need long enough to articulate it? And so as I was hearing my colleagues repeat back what they heard, I'm like, that's not what I'm feeling at all. And that's not what I think I need at all. That sounds stressful. So being able to be with people I trust and like sit with it and repeat like, okay, let me try that again. And then also hearing their experiences, because I do really well hearing how other people describe their situation. I'm like, yes. Then I can use and borrow their language. Like this part that you said, this is what I'm feeling. Thank you for giving me the language. So that's step two, why it's so important for me. Step three, stop unwanted advice. So we mentioned this earlier, but it's hard to not do this. But if someone doesn't ask for advice, really don't give it. Because a lot of times I know I've gotten advice. I'm like, thank you, but I don't really trust your advice in this area. I wouldn't have sought it out for this reason. Like, no offense, but like, you're not in my shoes for these reasons. Yeah. And that's why I just wouldn't ask you. So when you dump your advice on me, it's exhausting. Yeah. I want to be kind and respectful. And like, you went out of your way to give me your viewpoint, but like, thanks, but no thanks. So for me too, I also like, as educators, we just want to jump in and help. So this is the one I catch myself stopping from doing to other people, like just listen and hold space and not dump on other people. Like, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Because often, like I said, we all are in our heads. We have tons of solutions we could try. We just want someone to listen.
Yeah.
So what does step three look like for you, Joel? Why is it important?
Yeah. As we talked about on this podcast before, I'm an instructional coach. So it took me a while to just learn the practice of not going right in with ideas and advice or telling myself that's why I was hired to do this. People want my great advice. I have great advice. And that even if I do, that doesn't mean that people always need it or are willing to listen to it at that moment or are ready to listen to it at that moment. So it sounds like saying, hey, I hear you're going through this. Do you want to come up with some ideas together or do you just want me to listen? And that's been so helpful. And then often teachers, now that we build trust, can say, no, I don't need any advice right now. I just wanted you to hear that this is going on. And then I can say, cool. And if you want to like come up with some horrible, awesome ideas together sometime, like just let me know and I'll be there and we'll figure this out. But like, thank you for saying that you don't want unsolicited advice and that's okay. Most people can think of their own ways to get out of it. Usually they just want they want you to listen. So, which takes us to step four, which is stop the shame game, which means for us, if someone's having a feeling, don't shame them for that. They're not a bad person for having a feeling. If Jessie's in a funk, she's not a bad person for being a funk. If I'm in a funk, I'm not a bad person for being in a funk. That's part of life. So making sure that we catch ourselves before saying something like, oh, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. You're doing so great or whatever, however it might sound like for us, making sure that we're not shaming someone for having a valid experience or a valid emotion or a valid response to what's going on. And it's valid because it's their emotion and response and experience. So I might not respond that way, but making sure that I'm not projecting my own feelings onto that person. What about you? How does not shaming someone or stopping the shame game look for you?
Yeah. So stopping the shame game for me, it looks like a lot more internal. Like I feel a lot of shame personally for like, well, why am I acting this way? Like, why am I engaging in this thing? Why am I having this attitude? Or just like the people around me, like my students, they need me to like figure it out. So I think it's a lot more like being gentle on myself and not feeling shame that I'm feeling this negative way and just honoring that I'm also a human being with complex emotions and experiences, just trying to figure it out. So that's where my step four really hits with me is, it's okay, Jessie. You're just a person. Today's just a day. It'll pass. And then tomorrow, maybe you'll feel the same way. Maybe you'll feel different. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. And that is step five, brings us to accepting your feelings. So just accepting where you're at, accepting your emotions for what they are, not trying to force yourself to feel a certain way. And I think step five for me really goes hand in hand with step four too, and just honoring and noticing like, oh, I'm noticing that I'm like really struggling to get myself to get out of the car and I'm feeling dread and I don't know why, and being okay with that and just one step in front of the next. And then feelings and emotions, they all like come and go and pass, and just like staying with it and letting it be what it is and not trying to force another feeling or experience on myself.
Yeah.
How does step five look for you, or why is it important?
Yeah, for me, it goes both ways. So it's accepting my feelings, but also accepting the other's feelings and realizing that you might do step one, two, three, and four seamlessly. And that doesn't mean that it's going to shift anything in that person. So it's accepting like, cool, I validated you. I didn't shame you, all those things. And you might still be feeling what you're feeling. And that's awesome. So just be willing to accept their feelings and my feelings, and nothing has to be fixed in the moment. Like it just is in the moment. And that's where, and I think it can truly get toxic, is when you're like, okay, I did all these things, and like you're still in a funk or you're still frustrated, like you shouldn't be. And it's like, that's not the point of being authentically positive or truly positive with someone. So
Yes. And now we have a bonus. I love Joel like put together a bunch of sentence frames and language that you can use if you're struggling with a place to start. So Joel, can you tell us these frames? I love these.
Yeah. What does authentic positivity sound like? And I put in parentheses, like, remember that tone matters and it takes practice to sound authentic in your voice. So I'm going to read these off, but realize that it might sound a little bit different for you, and that's okay. Or do you want to go back and forth? I'll say one, then you say one. Yeah, here we go. So the first one is, that sounds hard.
This is a really tough situation.
How can I help you?
Is everything okay?
It's understandable that you are upset.
Would you like to talk more about how this is affecting you?
That must be tough. Tell me more.
That's a lot for you to process.
All of your feelings right now are valid.
It's okay to be mad about this.
Whew, even just hearing that makes me feel good.
They're in the show notes. So if you need these to write them down, go look in the show notes.
Now, Marigolds, it's time for your action step. Before you do anything, make sure you are aware of whether or not it is toxic positivity or authentic positivity. It takes practice. Once you know that you are experiencing toxic positivity or that you're being toxically positive, map out the five steps with specifics to your own situation. Write down what you've tried, write down where the problem is, write down potential solutions, and then write down your next steps and get specific. Most likely, you will focus on one way, and that's okay, to combat toxic positivity.
These notes are so important to help you draft out so that you can see when you or others are shifting into toxic positivity. It's okay to practice these steps with other Marigolds you trust. This work is hard work and you are not alone.
Write and map out your personal steps to combat toxic positivity and rock some authentic positivity. Do this now.
I'm ready.
And now it's time for commitments, inspirations, and celebrations. A big part of making true change through action is setting personal commitments, checking in with each other, and celebrating all of it along the way. All right, Jesse, what are you committed to in the week ahead?
I am committed from trying to remove the word hate from my vocabulary, at least for now. In my weird funk, I've noticed I like seem to hate everything. And I've been using the word a lot. So I'm just trying to be mindfully aware of it and try to drop it when I really don't want to use that word.
Yeah.
How about you, Joel? What are you committed to?
That final step, which is just accepting feelings, accepting my feelings, accepting others' feelings. Especially at this time of year, people have really strong feelings, myself included. And I am just a naturally sensitive person and I can take it really personally when someone's like, this whole school stinks or whatever. And I'm like, is that because of me? Like, what am I doing? So just realizing like, nope, they're expressing a valid feeling and that's okay. And I can have a feeling and I don't, sometimes it has something to do with me. Often it doesn't. And just not letting that affect my ego and myself. So accepting my feelings. What about inspirations? That. What's been inspiring you?
I just started listening to the audiobook. It's called Yes for a Year, I think. Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Oh my gosh. First of all, you should listen to the audiobook because I was listening to the part of the book where she does her commencement speech at Dartmouth. And I was like crying in the car just because I was like, it was just the advice. It's just very real and raw and no bullshit about like, so I'm supposed to stand up here and give you some wisdom, but like, I'm just going to tell you some things I've learned that hopefully will help you. And they're just like, I wish I had heard that when I was graduating because I think it would have saved me a whole lot of pain and heartache. So Shonda Rhimes, The Year of Yes, it's linked in the show note. And if you can listen to the audiobook, listen to the audiobook. How about you, Joel?
My recommendation is Think Again by Adam Grant. It's his new book. And true confession, I thought I would have finished it by the time this podcast came out and I accidentally returned it to the library. So like on the audiobook app. So I'm re-waiting for it to be available. So I haven't finished it or I haven't read it, but I've listened to about 6 interviews with Adam Grant where he's talked through the book, which is why I'm already recommending it because anything he puts out is just gold. So it's all about giving yourself permission to think again on certain things and realize how, what lens you're looking at the situation and how you sure. might be caught in a certain way of thinking and how you can give yourself permission to think differently. So
cool. Love
I'm
it.
Excited.
Celebrations.
I'm just celebrating spring. I think that for me, it's that time of year where life mm-hmm. is coming back and every day feels new and there's tulips coming up or whatnot. And it just feels mm-hmm. good for me. I know some people either love spring or hate spring. I personally yeah. love it. What about you? Me what too. Are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating family and friends. Ross and I are in the process of trying to buy a house and we found one we really loved yesterday. And Ross's sweet, sweet, sweet father drove 4 hours from South Dakota. He's a contractor to walk through the house with us and then turned around after we did the showing and drove right back. Cause he just is so wow. like commit. He's the sweetest, like most family focused man in the world. Aside from my dad, of course, too. Cause yeah. he's number one in my heart. So I'm celebrating family and just being surrounded by wonderful people.
Beautiful.
Thank you. And you'll find everything from this episode in our show notes. We can't say it enough on the Marigold Force podcast. True change only happens
with action. We'll see you next week.
You did it. Another week of prioritizing yourself and taking action. Your community needs the best you and you're bringing it.
If this podcast is making a huge difference in your life, consider sharing it with a friend or a colleague at your school. We're on a mission to help more teachers steer clear of burnout, and we can't do it alone. Click that share button now. See you next week, dear Marigolds, and keep blooming.
Keep blooming.